Meanwhile, the coaching staff, and we played Alex Van Pelt there coming back.
Mm-hmm.
It's his offense. What's it going to look like? And how are they going to play is a curious situation for me. And I was reading yesterday on ESPN, they ranked all the coaching staffs in the NFL.
Right.
So the Patriots come in 30th, and I should have sent a note to myself. Who was the worst coaching staff in the league? I'll have to effort and sign into my insider there to access that. But the Patriots are third from the bottom, 30th in the league. And it's accounting for the whole staff. Mayo, Van Pelt, Covington, etc. It says Gerard Mayo has held three jobs in the league. I thought this was a good point. I'd never really thought about it this way. He's held three jobs in the league. Patriots linebacker from 2008 to 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots linebacker coach from 2019 to 2023. And now Patriots coach. Like the man's had three jobs.
Yep.
Since he walked into the league. It's a good way of putting it. I mean, I know he had always been here, and I know he always worked under Bill and for Robert Kraft and with the Patriots. I got that. I never really thought about it that way. He was a player. He was the linebacker coach, kind of coordinator, and now he's the head coach, and that's it. Of all the new coaches, ESPN writes, he's the biggest question mark. That doesn't mean he'll be the worst or he can't succeed, but I agree with that. You just don't know a lot about what he does and how he'll function because he was under Bill Belichick and he played for Bill Belichick, and we just don't. He's never even called plays, for God's sakes. We say Van Pelt's never called plays. Van Pelt has at least here and there called plays. Mayo's never even called plays. He's never been a coordinator. I'm betting on Mayo, which I find to be a comical line. You just called him the biggest question mark, and now you're betting on him. What concerns me...
Good juice, probably.
Yeah, is his capacity to hire, and this is fair. Mayo has no connections throughout the league.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem like anybody wanted to come here and work for the Patriots or work with Mayo as a play caller. No one they wanted high on their list. They eventually backed into Alex Van Pelt. His capacity to hire. Offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt has been an NFL coach since 2006. The Patriots are the sixth team he has worked for. And this will be his third crack as offensive coordinator. He hasn't called plays in all of those stops, but his third crack as an offensive coordinator. He's as establishment as it gets. This isn't necessarily bad, of course. Van Pelt has a good quarterback-friendly offense, which serves both Jacoby Brissett, who played for Van Pelt in Cleveland, and rookie quarterback Drake May. But it isn't good either. New offensive coordinators such as Ryan Grubb, Brad Idzik, or Clint Kubiak are much more likely than Van Pelt to bring inventive ideas to the table. Now, I don't know if they were going to interview Grubb. I don't know if they were going to interview Idzik. Grubb is in Seattle. Idzik's in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Where did Kubiak end up getting a job? Was it New Orleans? There was interest in Kubiak here, though. That is one that they were interested in here. And I don't even think he took an interview.
Yeah.
I don't even think he took a job.
New Orleans Saints, yeah.
So I agree with that. It's just not a very inventive, not a very outside-the-box idea. And some of that is because who knows Gerard Mayo outside of guys who he played with or worked with here in New England. He has no connections throughout the league. And this is a criticism we had when they hired him. And it did come home to roost in this Van Pelt hire.
Jacoby. Yeah.
By the way, the other two teams that are below the Patriots are the Commanders, Dan Quinn, Kingsbury, and Joe Witt Jr. And
real quick, do you agree with that? Patriot staff or Washington staff?
I think I take the Washington staff.
Me too.
Yeah.
And now it's a defensive guy, but like maybe I'm really making this about Van Pelt versus Kingsbury. I definitely rather have Kingsbury than Van Pelt. And by the way, I don't think Kingsbury's great. But I
was not good in Arizona.
I'd rather have him than Van Pelt. And just so you don't think I'm contradicting myself, oh, he's part of the Bill coaching tree. He's not. He was drafted by Bill. He played for Bill for like a year. He never coached here.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, there's enough separation there. He wouldn't be my ideal candidate. But it's Van Pelt or it's Kingsbury. I'd rather have Kingsbury.
Yeah. And 32, Las Vegas Raiders, which is Antonio Pierce, Luke Getsy, and Patrick Graham.
Now that's a player's coach.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that coaching staff. Like Pierce actually was okay last year, but that's another defensive guy. I don't like Luke Getsy. I'm sure Brian running Twitch is screaming down the hall about Luke Getsy. And so, yeah, that's probably a worse coaching staff, but there's not a lot of options there. So you can jump in on that. Meanwhile, the negotiations I think are interesting. We talked about Judon earlier this week. So never mind who's calling the shots, who's running the team, who's running the offense. What sort of connections do you have throughout the league? How inventive will the offense be? What will it look like? All these questions that we really won't find out until September 8th in the opener. There was a bit of a revelation here from Devon Godchow. We have this, right? This is on his podcast. I didn't realize this guy had a podcast.
I did not either.
But apparently he does. And so...
Well, it makes sense because everyone in the world does.
Fair point.
Yeah.
It's a fair point. And you know what? Maybe I'm well on my way, Arkin. But here's what he had to say on, let me get his the name of his podcast right, the Chow Talk?
Chow Talk. It's God Chow, right? So Chow Talk?
Chow Talk, I'm not sure. But here's his podcast. Here's what he had to say about his negotiations with Elliott Wolf.
Look, man, I don't want to be a distraction. Mayo's a new head coach.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a distraction to the team.
Time out. I should have set this up. That second voice is Jacoby Brissett. Keep going.
Just want to go out here and ball. And training camp came, and I remember having this conversation with Elliott. For mini camp, I was like, look, I ain't doing nothing for training camp. I'm not doing nothing for, you know, because he had called me because the first day at mini camp, I didn't do nothing, but I did my conditioning and I shut it down. And the second day, you know, that morning he called me. He was like, look, like, what's going on? Like, you know, we want you to be out on the field practice. I'm like, look, Elliott, I ain't got a guarantee, you know, and, you know.
Something happened.
And, like, and you know, everybody always said, you know, I get it, this day and age, top pass rushers are getting paid big money, but you also need a guy to come in and stop the run.
Oh, for sure.
I'm like, if the run don't get stopped, then
it's a long day. Yeah, exactly. It's a long day.
I guarantee you, those guys don't want to, you know, so I'm like, let's just try to get somewhere to make it fair. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to do nothing against Philly. Joint practice just happened. I'm not going to do nothing against, you know, in training camp. And the reverse cycle, me and my agent ended up taking a whole nother approach.
Yeah.
When it came to training camp. You know, I was out there. Sure. I practiced and passed the first couple of days. And then about the third day and pass, I got paid, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we're just like a million or two off. I'm like, Elliott, like, let's just get this done. Like, I want to be here. You guys want me here. Let's just get it done. And then we end up getting it done.
Okay. That to me is wild.
Yeah.
Like all of us. So they didn't do that with Judon?
Guess not.
They weren't like, hey, Judon, you're not out there. How do we get this sorted out? How do we solve this? But with Devon effing Godchow, they're like, yeah. How do we get you back out there on the field? And he's like, I'm not doing it without guarantees. And they gave him the guarantees and they wouldn't with Judon. I think we already knew this. I don't think he really revealed anything that we didn't know. It's just interesting to hear him talk about it. He's like, yeah, guys, I'm not doing that. And then Elliott reached out to me. And assuming he's presenting it accurately and the way it really went down, that's wild to me. Like, the fact that this guy has gotten his first contract out of the Patriots, he's gotten a second contract out of the Patriots, now he's gotten more guarantees out of the Patriots. Bill Belichick called him one of the best defensive linemen in the league or whatever it was a couple of years ago. That's staggering with this guy, that they'll bend over backwards to get him on the field, but they're like, eh, sure, we'll take a middling NFL draft pick for arguably our best player in Matthew Judon. That's wild.
Yeah, it is weird. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that Godchow has an agent, like representation,
Hasn't that come into question? Because I thought
that he does? I don't know if he does I know Judon doesn't.
No, other way. Phil Perry wrote this the other week that Judon is represented by Clutch Sports.
Oh. I thought Judon said he wrote up the contract.
Well,
himself.
So this is why I say it's coming.
What the hell is Clutch Sports doing?
This is why I say it's coming to question. I don't know what that means. Does he use like a contract lawyer or something through Clutch Sports? But he actually negotiates his own. I have no idea. But
I didn't know.
Phil wrote that. Yes,
okay. Best defensive lineman in the league.
There it is.
It's interesting to be sure. I don't know. Was this? I wonder if the timeline in Barmore's blood clot thing, if that had something to do with this. Maybe if they looked at Godchow and said, okay, we can't screw around with this guy anymore.
Why? What does one have to do with the other?
Well, because it's the same position. You know, you're talking about an interior lineman.
But do they play the same way?
No, but, you know, it's like if you lose that guy, Godchow is not as good as Barmore. I think Barmore's better than Godchow, but they're similar. They're similar kind of players. They're, I'd say, close in terms of, like, what tier of defensive lineman in the league that they are. And I don't know that you have a lot of other guys on the team that are of that level. You know, it's just not after that, you know, I'm not even really sure what names you're talking about. So maybe it had something to do with that. Maybe it was just as simple as we're not doing this with Judon no matter what.
Okay.
You know, no matter what, we're just not re-signing him. That's final.
Is that what Monty's getting at here? Judon was acting like a bitch. And so that's why he didn't get his deal. You think Godchow was acting much better?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, the reason.
Was he going out there and lighting up the coat? I mean, like.
Okay. Initially, they were both doing the exact same thing. And then they played ball with Godchow, and that's when Judon lost it. When Godchow's agents, the Rosenhaus brothers, showed up at training camp, that's when Judon lost it. He's like, you're paying this bum, you're paying this scrub, and you're not going to talk to me. So that's when he lost it. Initially, they were doing the exact same thing. They weren't going out there. They weren't showing up for padded practices. They were handling it the exact same way.
You're sticking with that motherfucker.
Judon, that's exactly what he said. Judon didn't start flying off the handle, and he didn't handle it well. I agree with this. But they handled it exactly the same way until they decided to pay Godchow.
But
what did Godchow do to get paid?
Timeline wise, the way I remember it is that the Rosenhaus or whatever, they came over and they talked to him, and then Godchow came back and practiced, and he was there in pads and everything after that. But they hadn't come to the deal.
The Rosenhaus, why do you think they showed up? Because he was about to get paid,
right? But they hadn't agreed to it yet, and so he came back. They wore the pads, and he was out there practicing.
Yeah, maybe that's how it went down. I don't know, but if you're asking me what I think. I think Rosenhaus showed up. They made progress on a deal. Godchow started practicing again because they made progress towards a deal. And Judon flew off the handle because he's like, why are you prioritizing this guy, the Brady line, over me? I mean, I that's how I saw it. So, look, I don't think Judon handled himself well. I don't mean to defend it. Mm-hmm. But until Godchow was getting paid and his agent showed up, they were acting the exact same way. So I don't get why they'd prioritize one over the other. I've never gotten that. But it's another weird, odd thing going on with the Patriots this offseason. 617-779-7937. More of your thoughts coming up. We also got insight into Jerod Mayo and his coaching philosophy. I found this comment interesting. We'll get to it next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.